Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
Atop the Milkpacking District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Casey Anthony is released under heavy guard. A thief steals an amputee musician's custom-made trumpet. And a Vancouver woman tries to sell her baby at Taco Bell.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Dawn Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, July 18th, 2011. One of Portland's most legendary musicians can no longer play after a thief stole his custom-made trumpet from his car. The smash and grab happened as he was moving into a new condo near the Pearl District on Friday. There, a memory said, "I can't play right now, and it kills me to even think about that."
Who says this?
Thera Memory.
Oh, when I think of the many hours I've spent listening to the music of Thera Emery, whoever that might be.
Well, apparently he has played with everyone from James Brown to Natalie Cole back in his younger years. I guess he's a little bit older now, and a series of finger amputations made it so that he can only play his custom-built trumpet.
Don. It's the notes you don't play.
Yes.
Which, in his case, is now more of them.
He says, the horn allows me to play with my left hand, even though I have one amputation on the left hand. Friday afternoon, someone smashed his car window and took the horn while he was in the process of moving into a new condo. Now he focuses. He was a busy jazz man in his younger days, like I said, playing with everyone from James Brown to Natalie Cole. Now he focuses on teaching jazz to a new generation of players, like his protege, Grammy winner Esperanza Spalding. Memory used his custom trumpet to play on one of Spalding's recent albums. He said, "There is only one of these horns, and it's made for only me." He said, "There's $250 waiting for the thief if he or she would simply drop it off at the Musicians Union Hall at Northeast 20th and Northeast Sandy."
What is what is it with the series of amputations?
Well, I mean, you know, you get an amputation, they go, "Oh, now another one's got to go," and then you get another one off, and they go, "Oh, no, now this one," rather than getting them all off at once. That would be one fell swoop amputation.
I guess what I'm saying is, what causes you to need a series of fingers amputated?
Sometimes diabetes can
do
that.
I thought that was more of a leg thing.
It can do it to your fingers, too. Maybe he had finger cancer.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
This now only leaves the career opportunity of touring high schools and saying, you know, and then fabricating some sort of a tobacco-based habit which cost him the use of his fingers.
And basically saying, kids, don't steal people's trumpets.
Seriously. They should just use him as a, no, I've got nothing. I was trying to do a sort of a thing with the Iranian sign and the "I stole" in front of the store.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing. I've got nothing there. Nothing at all.
No, and there's something having to do with, like, four-finger trumpeting. Stumped. Yeah. Police are stumped.
I'm sorry. Oh. He was unable to finger the burglar.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm going right to hell. I know. And so spare me the hate mail. It's Monday. It's just going to have to be the way that it is. So.
Well, you just came back from Sin City, so you're probably
feeling your oats. My sensibilities have been... my finer sensibilities have been dulled, Don. The human condition is now just a sea of inanity and banal ridicule for my pleasure.
Yeah, you've been living the high life for days in casinos and romping with chorus girls.
I don't really
and
do
such.
That.
No, okay.
It's more of a medium level life.
Okay.
I live the low life always, no matter where I am. Let's just say it.
As a recently acquitted Casey Anthony left a Florida jail with her attorney just after midnight on Sunday, she faced an angry crowd of nearly 100 people, some of them shouting "baby killer" at the 25-year-old. Anthony, who had been accused of murdering her 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee, was accompanied by two deputies carrying semi-automatic rifles and was whisked away in an SUV towards an unknown destination. It is my hope, attorney Jose Baez told Associated Press reporters,
that she finds the money to pay me somehow.
Well, that, yes, and also that she might receive the counseling and treatment she needs to move forward with the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner.
It would be so much better if it was just Dr. J.
Eddie, Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, though, as a whole, is a great name.
I suppose. He's apparently a refugee from the Donna Mike Show.
He's a forensic psychologist, and he says normally a recently released inmate relies on friends and family for support. But Anthony's defense likely eliminated that as an option for her.
You're sure this isn't Dr. J?
This is Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner.
In her situation, she's accused her father and her brother of sexually abusing her, and clearly for her mother, at the very least, to have diminished parenting skills. So those support services are not there for her.
She has $516 in her account.
Von Ornsteiner says Anthony's 3 years behind bars have left her in a difficult financial state.
She's literally leaving prison destitute. She maybe has a little bit more than, in American dollars, $500. She has to literally think of how she can create revenue for her own protection.
Oh, I've got some ways she can create revenue.
She has to literally think of a way to make a living to pay her bills.
As Seamus says...
Unlike most of us.
As Seamus says, I've got the counseling and treatment she needs.
Yeah.
It's an invasive form of therapy.
You know, Seamus's attraction to her is...
Oh, let's not just...
More than a little disturbing.
Let's not define that as just being Seamus's attraction to her. Let's not be so narrow in our thinking, Don.
Yeah, but Seamus is the only one I have to actually hear talking about it.
I'm right here. What am I, chopped liver?
Well, all right.
I'm 3 feet away. Colorado.
I'm used to you being creepy. I think it's just, I don't know.
Oh, I see. I don't even count. I don't even matter anymore.
I guess I think maybe you're exaggerating for effect, whereas I believe Seamus is sincere.
Okay. Well, you think
allow me my illusion.
I suppose that's more pleasant for you if you just imagine that it's not really the case.
I have to sit here with you every day. Allow me my delusions.
I'm not saying it about you.
I know, but still, I have to know that you're...
Oh, I'm sorry. Your sisters are being slighted.
Impure thoughts about baby killers.
Yes, call Betty for Dan.
That has nothing to do with feminism. I'm just a little creepy, that's all.
She's not a baby killer. She was acquitted.
If I was sitting here going, oh, yeah, that Charlie Manson, he's hot.
Okay, now, at what point...
Wouldn't you find that a bit disturbing?
At what point did you start rooting for the government in these cases?
What?
You're saying she's a baby killer. She was acquitted. Why are you rooting for the government?
I'm just saying I think she did it.
Okay. Well, I suppose one is entitled to one's opinion, Don, but I like to think that maybe the government gets it wrong occasionally.
Well, all right.
I don't know when you became a tool of the oppressor, unless it's always been the case and only now is the mask beginning to drop.
I think I've always secretly been a tool of the oppressor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my way.
I understand.
Moving forward with the rest of her life may be a tall order. In recent days, a Philadelphia man named Casey Anthony received a barrage of threats, and a woman in Oklahoma claims another woman attacked her because she bears a resemblance to Anthony. Not all in the crowd as she was released were hecklers. Several who waited to watch Anthony leave held signs with messages of support, one even asking for her hand in marriage.
Hey, wait your turn in line, pal.
The vast majority, however, did seem to direct their ire at her. Mike Kuros, who drove from Miami to Orlando to spend his 22nd birthday outside the jail, said, "She's safer in jail than she is out here. She better watch her butt. She's known all over the world."
Somebody says, "Would you be this forgiving if it were Tammy Sue Whitehead?" Who is Tammy Sue White? Is that a reference to something?
Sure, yeah.
Is that somebody we've talked about on the show that I've flushed out of my brain?
Probably.
Yeah, I got
that. I mean, you know, we talk about a lot of people who do a lot of terrible things. You know, we can't be required to remember all of them.
Allegedly.
Allegedly do terrible, horrible things.
That's what I'm saying.
That's true. O.J. got off. He's innocent.
No. But see, O.J. was eventually convicted of something.
Well, wasn't he found guilty in, like, civil court? Like,
yes, he was, like, done.
Yeah, see, so. Anyway.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday. It's July 18th, 2011, and good day to you. Coming up later on this hour, your entertainment news, also science on the march, and so forth. If you want to get this program later on the day via iTunes, you can do that. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at, yeah, there we go, legionofnews.com. Had to stretch my coccyx and larynx. Legionofnews.com. You can also take it with you on your mobile device if you like. That is mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm, and so forth. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Geek Watch, Hick Watch, Taser Watch, and Mr. Aaron Duran joining us with The Week in Geek, plus recaps of last night's episode of True Blood and a recap of last night's Season 4, Episode 1, Breaking Bad, ladies and germs, which was fantabulous. Ah. Here is Don Taylor.
A 36-year-old Vancouver woman was arrested after investigators said she tried to sell her infant son at a Taco Bell. The Clark County Sheriff's Office said Heidi Knowles, also known as Heidi Gassaway, approached a woman who was eating at a Taco Bell restaurant on Thursday, handed the woman her 3-day-old son, and offered to sell the boy for $500. The woman called 911 and because apparently she was not actually shopping for a baby. She was just eating her enchirito.
Where was
and
she?
Minding her own business.
Vancouver?
In a Vancouver Taco Bell.
Oh, she was shopping for a baby.
So she called 911, and investigators later found Knowles and her son at Kay's Motel on Northeast Highway 99. She was arrested for outstanding warrants. Oh, for what? It doesn't say. And booked into the Clark County Jail, where she's being held without bail. She could face charges of attempted child selling and child buying. She's expected to be in court this morning.
You know, the fact that we even have laws on the books for attempted child selling and buying indicates something really deeply wrong with this country.
And then there was this thing the other day where apparently a whole lot of states now are instituting, after the Casey Anthony thing, instituting laws that to make it illegal to not report the death of a child. Because apparently that wasn't illegal before.
Well, that's not actually what it is. It's not just that. It is now required, if these laws pass, which they won't, by the way, because here's the thing. Petitions online never accomplish anything. But if the law passes, it would require you to report the disappearance of and or discovery of the dead body of a child within a certain amount of time. And here's the reason it's not going to pass. Because if you think your kid is, you know, if you think your kid is gone, you know, like run away or just, you know, you've lost track of him. He's a little hoodlum and you think he's at the mall or, you know, I don't know, off burning ants with a magnifying glass. And then later you find out that he was, in fact, dead. The way the law is currently written, the way this proposal is written, you could then be jailed for not reporting the fact that your kid was dead, even though you didn't know he was dead. So not going to pass. So here's a little tip for me to you. It's not going to be a thing you have to worry about for, like, you know, ever.
Yeah, and I don't have kids anyway, so, you know.
And also, we could do with a few more kids, adults, elderly people. We could do with a few more of, you know, a few more of everybody just sort of going missing every now and again. I mean, honestly, if like one out of every three people just sort of, you know, was away'd to somewhere else, perhaps to Iskandar, I think we'd all be better off.
Gresham police say a 22-year-old man stabbed in a late-night fight walked into a nearby hospital for treatment. Police say the white man suffered a stab or slice
wound to
the torso.
This is a white man being injured?
I know.
Damn it, I'm sorry. Should have told me this was important.
A white man was harmed. It was Gresham.
No, Dawn.
I know. A white man was harmed. Investigators say they received a disturbance call about 11 p.m. Sunday at the Campbell Park Apartments. Right around the same time, police got a call from Mount Hood Medical Center of a man, yes, a white man, who'd walked into the hospital with stab wounds. Police believe the man was injured during the fight. They've not yet released details of what led to the fight.
Oh, haven't they?
Officers did briefly set up a perimeter looking for a suspect. They say they have everyone involved in the fight in custody and are conducting interviews.
All right.
The man, again, a white man, who was stabbed, was transported from Mount Hood Medical Center to an area trauma hospital for treatment. His current condition is unknown.
Was anybody else who's white in the story injured in any way or harmed?
They did not actually say if the other fight participants were indeed white people.
Okay, all right.
They just specified that was a white man.
All right. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Here is Don Taylor at the news desk.
Moody's Investor Service suggested today that the U.S. does away completely with the debt ceiling. In a new report, the credit rating agency argues that the U.S. is one of only a few nations where lawmakers set a statutory limit on government debt, and that such a limit creates periodic uncertainty for investors. Moody's analyst Stephen Hess wrote in a report, "We would reduce our assessment of event risk if the government changed its framework for managing government debt to lessen or eliminate that uncertainty." Last week, Moody's made waves when it warned that the nation may lose its top-notch AAA credit rating this month if lawmakers fail to strike a deal to raise the debt ceiling.
Does this mean we won't be able to get layaway furniture at a reasonable cost?
Yeah, we're not going to be able to get, like, a credit card from France.
It seems like if we're not able to get credit the old-fashioned way, we'll just get it the way that Americans get money when they need it, you know, the other way. We just got guns.
Yeah, just go kill a bunch of people and take all their stuff.
We'll just, you know, we'll go hold up Guam, take whatever they got.
A second major age. And plus, can't we make our own money? Don't we have printing presses?
We do make our own money.
Yeah.
Sort of.
So, yeah. So let's just make more.
Yes. That's exactly what we should do. That won't have any deleterious effects on the economy at all. Just print a whole lot more.
Why not?
Okay.
A second major agency.
Let's just make sand the official currency of the United States.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Let's pay for everything with leaves.
We have lots of those.
Yes, we do.
Yes. A second major agency, Standard & Poor's, has also warned of a potential downgrade in the event the months-long stalemate, if it continues. Lawmakers have until August 2nd to raise the debt ceiling to prevent a government default. The White House has said a deal needs to be in place by the end of the week to ensure a law is passed for deadline.
Everything must go.
Meanwhile, the top House Republicans met with President Obama last night to talk about how to extend the debt ceiling. But officials say there is no progress towards an agreement. This Washington resident says, just somebody who lives in Washington, apparently, just a guy, says that it seems Congress can't get business done that requires bipartisan efforts.
What is the name of this average American jackass? What is the cut?
Debt One.
I think we used to be able to work together better if you just go back 10, 20 years. And now it's just gotten to the point where we can't get pretty simple things figured out.
When did we start returning to the time when Alf was on television as when everything was swell in America?
This resident, who may or may not be the same guy, is a bit irritated at the way some lawmakers have behaved during negotiations, especially the president.
It's almost as if they're intractably divided by differing ideologies and platforms.
I understand that it's difficult. My job's very difficult. I don't have the option of walking out of a meeting. That would be considered completely inappropriate.
What do you do?
Is your job president?
Well, that's true. No, it seems like his job probably isn't president. It's a zero-sum job. There's only one of those. No,
you always have that option.
He has that option. I mean, they have the option to have security thump you twice on the way out and take all your crap, I would imagine.
Yeah.
All right. You don't get your staple remover back.
When a man in Northern Virginia attempted to cremate his pet dog, the fire burned out of control and damaged his house.
How out of control would it be?
Well, there's a photo. You want to see how out of control his dog cremation fire got. A funeral service for the dog turned into a heated situation for the man. Firefighters say Charles Harris was trying to cremate his 11-year-old Rottweiler in the backyard of his Dale City home. Authorities said he used gasoline to get the fire going, but it quickly spread to his house.
Bad dog! No! No! Down! Off the roof! And the walls! And the carpet! And the neighbor's yard! Bad! Mustn't!
The Associated Press reports the man tried to get several animal shelters to help him dispose of his dog's body, but they all told him the Rottweiler was too large.
Rusty!
So apparently his solution was to take it in his backyard and douse it in gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
Firefighters have not said how extensively the home was damaged, but there is, again, I said, a picture, and it's not pretty.
Was it a lot of damage?
It's,
A significant amount?
It was rough.
A lot? Okay.
So that was
we'll get that. That'll be up at rickemerson.com/pictures. Visual Age for July 18th, here in just a moment. Visual Age, July 18th. It's at rickemerson.com/pictures here in just a few. By the way, to answer a question posed on the Facebook from a listener, Rick, I believe, who said, is it just me or is anybody else having trouble seeing the photo gallery? It's just you. Just FYI, in case you were curious.
Yeah,
it is, in fact, just you. So that'll be up at rickemerson.com/pictures, Visual Age, Visual Aids, July 18th, here in just a second.
There was a brief scare at the Denver Zoo on Friday afternoon when a large flightless bird escaped from its exhibit. The bird, a double-wattled cassowary, managed to run up against the fencing of its exhibit and squeeze through. When they got word of the escape, administrators closed off the zoo to visitors and moved some zoo-goers into enclosed areas so they would not be at risk, because cassowaries can be quite aggressive. Sometime later, the bird was located near its exhibit, hiding in some brush. Zoo staff then used fencing to herd the animal into its enclosure. There are only two cassowaries at the Denver Zoo, an adult male and an adult female. Their exhibit is an outdoor area near the birdhouse. The female did not escape along with the male. Apparently, she's happy where she is. Once he was placed back in his exhibit, staff moved him to the back area where he won't be visible to the public. The exhibit was closed for the day. I guess that's how you punish a cassowary. You don't let anyone look at it.
Also, it lives in a cage.
Yeah. According to its description on the Denver Zoo's website, a double-wattled cassowary, also known as the southern cassowary, has strong legs, which have three toes with sharp claws. Adults are about 6 feet tall and can run 30 miles per hour.
You know, flightless birds are like the Muggles of the avian world. I wonder if the other birds just look at them and just, you know.
Well, on the other hand, 6 feet tall, claws, can run 30 miles an hour. I mean, you know, yeah. if a smaller bird laughs at you, you can just destroy
it. Step on it, I suppose.
Yeah.
Unless it's more than 6 feet off the ground.
The description on the zoo's website reads, they will occasionally attack humans using their powerful legs to lash out with their large claws.
Okay. So, well, so don't try to grab that thing. If you see it, just walk the other direction.
They come from Australia, so unless one has escaped from the zoo, you're unlikely to, like, bump into one.
And it's probably drunk.
Yeah. And eating shrimp. A major Los Angeles freeway construction shutdown and breathless warnings of Carmageddon gridlock were in the rearview mirror this morning for motorists heading for the four-hour commuter rush.
Everywhere I went in Las Vegas, there were people, not everywhere, but there were many, many, many people wearing a shirt that said Carmageddon in huge letters, which was sort of awesome. There's nothing you can do with that shirt after today. It's useless.
No.
But over the weekend, it was pretty great.
And a lot of people said that this was much like the 1989 Olympic scare, where it was like so many people were so scared off of driving anywhere that everyone stayed home. So apparently traffic everywhere was awesome.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you got to give it up to L.A. As many things as they get wrong, they actually got this right, because for 6 months they've been telling people about this. And they, as much as we were snarking about the Tom Hanks telling people on Twitter to stay home and then signing his own name, apparently everybody did that. I mean, I don't know that you could get people in L.A. to do that for very many weekends in a row before they would just start ignoring you. But I mean, for this one weekend, apparently everybody just kind of went F it, and they just stayed where they were.
Well, next year they're going to be doing the same thing at about the same time, because they're going to remove the other half of the bridge, and they're hoping it'll run just as smoothly. But yeah, the work crews finished early, and they actually opened up the 405 17 hours ahead of schedule. So
attention, Carvel ice cream stands in Southern California. You should have been selling something called a Carmageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI. You still do that, maybe.
Also, I believe the city of Portland could do well to actually find whoever was in charge of this project and talk to them about, I don't know, this whole thing called efficiency. Getting something done and actually getting it done ahead of schedule and not inconveniencing everyone.
I wouldn't really hope for that, if ever you. You're just setting yourself up for disappointment there. Hey, Willie Nelson, you know, the next stage of agricultural assistance, Farmageddon.
Farmageddon.
There you go.
You didn't just call me Willie Nelson, did you?
No. Okay. Why would I call you Willie Nelson?
I don't know. You said, hey, Willie Nelson.
I'm addressing him as a citizen of the planet.
Oh, okay.
I'm using my bully pulpit to address the redheaded stranger in hopes that he might deal with agricultural issues. You know, in case he needs like a sort of, you know, it'll be like the X Games version of, you know, of a Farm Aid, where it's, you know, sort of edgy, where it's out of control.
Yeah, but if he does anything farm-related, it'll just be pot references all over the place. People
right.
will just assume he's growing marijuana.
That's Farmageddon with a PH.
Oh.
I've thought of everything.
Yes. Police in Calgary, Canada, are on the hunt for a suspect who pulled a chainsaw from his van and chased another man through the parking lot of a Dairy Queen. The incident unfolded about 6:45 p.m. Saturday. Police were called to the Dairy Queen for a report of a man chasing another man with a chainsaw. The initial probe indicates that two men met in the ice cream shop parking lot with more than blizzards on their minds. That's what it says in the story.
Okay.
Police suspect the men were engaged in a drug deal when a white car arrived in the area. A man got out and approached the two suspects. According to the news report, the police news release, words were exchanged and the two males retreated to a van where one of the males grabbed a chainsaw, started the chainsaw, and then chased the other male back to the white car.
So he was just carrying a chainsaw around with him?
In his van.
All right.
The white car fled the Dairy Queen.
Well,
all the men were gone before police arrived. Their identities remain unknown.
Yeah, I would imagine you would flee. That's not a thing you would stick around for. No. No, no, no.
No. What?
No, somebody's trying to rewrite the blizzard line to make it funnier.
No.
Tell me if you think this is funnier. The men apparently had more than dilly bars on their mind.
That is funnier.
It is funnier, but I mean only incrementally. Like, the line itself is just ill-conceived.
Dilly bars are just funnier than blizzards.
They're funnier than blizzards.
Yeah. You need something with a hard consonant, though, to really be funny, and I don't know what they sell, at Dairy Queen that has a hard consonant.
All they have is, like, the Peanut Buster Parfait, and that's, you know, and that ends soft.
Yeah.
And the Mr. Misty, that's no better.
No, they don't have anything that has that good noise.
No. Yeah.
A woman lost her husband and her purse on the same night. Now she's trying to get her money back. Cheryl Harnack's husband passed away on July 3rd while being treated at Oregon Health and Science University for a ruptured spleen complicated by a bone marrow disease that he'd been battling. At some point that night, someone stole her purse while she was away from it. She said several members of the family spent hours looking for the purse, sifting through trash bins. The purse was found the next day in the hospital's cafeteria with $1,200 in cash missing from it. Harnack said she was carrying the cash to pay her monthly rent. After the theft and with her husband's retirement and disability income in flux, Harnack is afraid she can't pay her rent and may need to move. "I want the person who took the money to come forward," she said. "They can pay me back in payments or tell me they're sorry or something. I couldn't ever do that to another person ever."
What's her name?
Cheryl Harnack.
Oh, okay.
A support fund has been set up for the family, which Harnack said OHSU encouraged her to establish. Anyone wanting to help can make a donation to the Harnack Family Memorial Fund at any Wells Fargo branch.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Still to come this hour, your entertainment news and in mere moments, your science on the march. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Hick Watch, Geek Watch, Taser Watch, recap of last night's True Blood, recap of last night's season opener for Breaking Bad, and Mr. Aaron Duran with the Week in Geek. Here is Don Taylor.
Let's do science.
Here's your science on the march brought to you by Squires Electric. Locate them online, won't you, at squireselectric.com or 503-252-1609. That is how you can call them. Or at facebook.com/squireselectric. facebook.com/squireselectric. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. They'll get you a free estimate up front so you know about what you're going to pay. And if you have an inspection coming up or if, I don't know, the guy who wired the house before was just a cretin or a jackass or just, you know, mentally enfeebled in some way. A mental halfling, if you will. You can have it done correctly, so you're not going to have to worry about where everything's going to be working next week or the week after that. You push a button, something catches on fire. You don't want that. So you contact Squires Electric. They are at 503-252-1609. Everything from one single socket or an outlet all the way up to an entire building. If it has to do with upgrading or installing or repairing or just making sure that everything is going to continue working as it has been, Squires Electric, they can help you out with that. And they are also the proud sponsors of this, your science on the march.
Scientists have just about figured out the potato genome.
I thought they did figure it out last week. There was a thing last week that said they'd mapped the potato genome.
Well, apparently they've mapped it. It's mostly done. It's almost entirely done. Not completely done, but almost entirely done. Potatoes have 39,031 genes. An international group of researchers known as the Potato Genome Sequencing Consortium reported online in Nature. Of those, 3,372 genes are unique to potatoes. Analysis of the potato's genetic blueprints reveals that the plant made duplicate copies of its genetic instructions at least twice in the ancient past. Clues to disease resistance and the evolution of tubers may also be hidden among the genes, and breeders may use the data to build better potatoes.
Okay.
The Potato Genome Sequencing Consortium.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare's witches may be happy to learn that one of their favorite ingredients is a renewable resource. Newt's ability to regenerate the lenses of their eyes is not hampered by aging or repeated injury. This, according to an international team of researchers in Nature Communications. Mammals, including humans, lose the ability to renew body parts with age, but newts don't seem to have that problem. In the new study, newts regrew lenses in their eyes 18 times out of 16 in 16 years with no loss in lens quality. Figuring out how newts regenerate body parts may help improve anti-aging therapies for people.
Or if you're just a sociopath who likes to jab newts, you can get one, and it's like having a toy that never gets old.
And if you like newt eyes and you just want to keep getting more, you pop them out and they'll grow a new one. Researchers in South Africa used tape and glue to attach a transmitter the size of a matchbox to a 10-week-old African penguin. The 6-pound bird, named Richie, will be given a week to get used to swimming in a pool with the 1-ounce device before he's released into the ocean from the southern tip of Africa. The first penguin in the project was released last month, and in all, 5 radio-controlled penguins are to be released over a few months.
I want a radio-controlled penguin.
I know. The African penguin, endearingly awkward on land and gracefully efficient in the water, is found only in southern Africa. It's also known as the jackass penguin because of its braying call. Tourists from around the world who have seen African penguins in a colony near Cape Town may not realize just how rare the sightings are becoming. The numbers of African penguins have plummeted from up to 4 million in the early 1900s to 60,000 as of the last census in 2010. The Southern African Foundation for the Conservation of Coastal Birds has raised the penguins being used in the study. Humans are generally accepted to have caused the drastic decrease collecting penguin eggs or food until the 1960s.
Yeah.
Harvesting of penguin guano for fertilizer stripped a hard layer of the substance in which adult birds had burrowed to create nests safe from predators in the sun. More recently, a new threat came with oil spills and commercial fishing's competition for the anchovies and sardines on which the penguins feed. So they're hoping that tracking the young penguins will answer questions about how early experiences influenced the choice of breeding colonies. They've already gathered surprising data from the first bird, Lucy, about how far a young bird is able to swim, an average of 28 miles a day.
Okay, then.
Radio-controlled penguins.
Penguins.
Researchers led by Sanjita Bhatia of MIT engineered artificial livers from human liver cells encased in a polymer scaffold that implanted the liver packets into mice. Mice with the implants can break down drugs and produce liver proteins just like humans do. This was reported July 11th in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Such humanized mice could be used to screen drugs and improve therapies for diseases involving the liver.
And then they're going to be borrowing money from you and, you know, leaving the television on all night.
It is a creepy, creepy thing. So we're implanting pieces of human liver into mice so we can feed them drugs to see if it will kill them.
Well, I mean, why should that surprise you? I mean, that's just the latest. Really, that is the latest in a long list of injustices done to white mice by white men in white coats.
Yeah.
I mean, really, this is...
They should rise up.
And you should do... I mean, you should be all in favor of this, because maybe then instead of dialysis, Patrick could just strap, you know, like a habit trail to himself, and he could, you know, he could filter his blood through mice that then amuse him during the downtime.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
You know, Frankie and Benji can sort of run around and do tricks for him when they're not filtering his blood.
He could just wear them around his waist, and they could just run around in circles.
That's what I'm saying.
Kids may be safest in cars when grandma or grandpa are driving instead of mom or dad, according to study results that made the researchers do a double take. Dr. Fred Henredick, an emergency medicine specialist at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, said, we were surprised to discover that the injury rate was considerably lower in crashes where grandparents were the drivers. Previous evidence indicates that car crashes are more common in older drivers, mostly those beyond age 65. The study looked at injuries rather than those who had more crashes and found that children's risk for injury was 50% lower when riding with grandparents than with parents.
Because they're goddamn slow.
Well, yeah.
Because every accident happens at 4 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think that's it. The researcher himself is 64 years old, and he said, I found myself being very nervous on the occasions that we drove our granddaughter around and really wondered if anyone had overlooked this before. So they found that perhaps grandparents are made more nervous about the task of driving with the precious cargo of their grandchildren and establish more cautious driving habits to compensate for age-related challenges.
No, they just drive like they're from Idaho.
No, they still have more crashes. They just crash while going slower.
I would say, yeah, that if you're a 16-year-old, you probably crash at 100 miles an hour. Always, always, always. If you are from Idaho or an old person, you crash at like 1/10 of whatever the speed limit is.
That's all the science.
Excellent. There you go. There's your science in the march. For Monday, July 18th, 2011, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find them at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/Squires Electric. Proud sponsors of that, your science on the march. Don't forget, coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com, where you can listen for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. We have new subscribers whose names are escaping me at the moment, so we'll call them Teddy and Hank. Hello, Teddy and Hank.
Hey, Teddy. Hey.
Thank you for joining the Rick Emerson extended family in just really mere minute, the 29 minutes. We will begin the countdown to today's Rick Emerson show featuring Geek Watch, Chick Watch, Taser Watch, Aaron Duran at the Weekend Geek, recaps of Troop Blood and Breaking Bad, etc. And then you'll be able to mock your less blessed co-workers and friends, those who are not able to listen to the Rick Emerson radio program because they have not seen the figurative light. So, Teddy, Hank, thank you. Here's
Teddy,
Sean Taylor.
Hank. Sean Hoare. The former news... I'm assuming his name is pronounced Hoare. The former News of the World showbiz reporter who was the first named journalist to allege Andy Coulson was aware of phone hacking by his staff has been found dead, according to The Guardian. Hoare, who worked on The Sun and the News of the World with Coulson before being dismissed for drink and drugs problems, is said to have been found dead at his Watford home. Hertfordshire police would not confirm his identity, but the force said in a statement, at 10:40 a.m. Monday, police were called to Langley Road following the concerns for the welfare of a man who lives in a dress on the street. The body of a man was found. The death is currently being treated as unexplained, although not thought to be suspicious. Hoare first made his claims in a New York Times investigation into the phone hacking allegations at News of the World. He told the newspaper that not only did Coulson know of the phone hacking, but that he actively encouraged his staff to intercept the phone calls of celebrities in the pursuit of exclusives. In a subsequent interview with the BBC, he alleged he was personally asked by his then-editor to tap into phones. In an interview with the PM program, he said Coulson's insistence that he didn't know about the practice was a lie, simply a lie. And, so he had talked about private investigators who had links with the News of the World. He spoke to a Guardian journalist last week and repeatedly expressed the hope that the hacking scandal would lead to journalism in general being cleaned up. And he said he decided to blow the whistle on the activities of some of his former colleagues with that aim in mind. He also said he had been injured the previous weekend while taking down a marquee erected for a children's party. He said he'd broken his nose and badly injured his foot when a relative accidentally struck him with a heavy pole. He also emphasized he was not making any money from telling his story. He's previously been treated for drug and alcohol problems and reminisced about partying with former pop stars and said he missed the days when he was able to go out on the town.
You know, I don't know why, as I think we've established really beyond all doubt on this program, I don't know why people don't just come and ask me how to do things, because I would tell them how to do it better. I have a better way to do almost every time we have a story in this program where somebody is just hoist by their own petard or incompetence. If they had just asked me, Rick Emerson, how to go about this, I would have been able to steer them through these rocky shoals upon which they are now crashing. Ask me how they could have handled this better.
How could they have handled this better?
The deal is, you don't just hack directly into the phone things. You just slide money either over or under the table. I think it could be over the table, because I don't think there'd be anything illegal about it. You slide all the money over the table to cell phone carriers and providers, who then just update their terms of service without telling anybody, thus allowing them to listen to your voicemail and pass it along to any and all third parties that they deem appropriate. Bam! News of the World. Bada-bing. Oh. Legal. Done. It's like that, you know, it would be like partnering with Microsoft, who at one point, I think until somebody finally forced them to change it, at one point the Hotmail terms of service said that Microsoft owned anything you sent through Hotmail.
Yeah.
So if you, like, were writing a novel and you sent it to your agent through Hotmail, wham, suddenly Microsoft owned your novel. And so if they, I find it difficult to believe that cell phone providers don't already have that in the terms of service, but even if they didn't, how much money could it possibly take to induce them to put that in there? And then you can legally listen in. You avoid all this business of your media empire crumbling. Did they ask me? No.
No, but you are an evil mastermind.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. British Prime Minister David Cameron is cutting short a trip to Africa to deal with his country's phone hacking scandal. The latest casualty is John Yates, an assistant commissioner at the Metropolitan Police. Yates, who served as Scotland Yard's counterterrorism chief, says the malicious gossip being published about him has the potential to be a significant distraction ahead of the 2012 Olympics.
Yates is slouching home to spend more time with his family.
The threats we face in the modern world are such that I would never forgive myself if I was unable to give total commitment to the task of protecting London and the country during this period.
Are we sure that's not Tony Blair or perhaps Anthony Daniels as C-3PO?
Well, they all talk the same.
Yeah, it's true.
Yates gives further details about why he resigned his post this morning.
This has the potential to be a significant distraction in my current role as the national lead for counterterrorism.
I like to be called Sally and paddled on the buttocks.
So do you know what the ill-informed and downright malicious gossip was?
No.
Oh, okay.
So wait, who is this? Who was this we were just listening to?
John Yates.
And what was he?
He was the number two cop at Scotland Yard.
Oh, yeah, no, it is because a woman who then later worked as a PR representative, a woman who worked for Murdoch later on, at one point worked as a PR representative for him. And there was an allegation that there was an understanding between the two companies that they were passing employees back and forth.
Hmm.
So it was I don't really know that he's guilty of anything, but it certainly is the appearance of impropriety, if not actual impropriety.
Boston winger Nathan Horton's day with the Stanley Cup was cut a bit short on Sunday. Tammy Plant Horton, Nathan Horton's wife, mentioned on Twitter she was going to meet her husband in Buffalo, New York, before his parade in Denville, Ontario, which was set to begin around 11 a.m. As a result, his day with the Cup was cut short. According to Horton's wife, the Stanley Cup was lost at Boston's Logan Airport on Sunday. JetBlue spokesperson Sebastian White told a local TV station,
"Nope.
The Stanley Cup was never actually lost. The person traveling with the cup checked it in at 7:37 a.m. for an 8 a.m. flight. White added that the cutoff time for checked baggage is 30 minutes prior to departure to give the TSA time for screening. The cup arrived 7 minutes past the cutoff point. Due to the late check-in, the case didn't make the flight.
Did they send it to Brazil?
JetBlue TSA did not put the Stanley Cup on the flight because it was 7 minutes past their check-in time.
Well, you should be in favor of athletes not receiving special treatment, Don. Are you bizarro, Don, today? Rooting for the government, rooting for athletes? Who are you? You don't make any sense today.
I have a fever. What can I tell you?
Is it Olympic fever?
Yes.
Okay.
I caught it.
All right.
Due to the late check-in, the case didn't make the flight, and it was placed on the next flight to Buffalo.
No, but I'm not rooting for the Stanley Cup guy to get screwed. I'm just saying it seems like they shouldn't be allowed any latitude. It seems like they should have to treat everybody the same.
No, it's just more...
If they stopped you at the gate and then let the Stanley Cup go through, you'd be here, like, bitching up a storm about it.
I might, but on the other hand,
might.
I might.
It's possible that you'd
it's
be...
It's the Stanley Cup.
Understanding
and
tolerant.
I might be able to wait, like, 5 minutes for the freaking Stanley Cup.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I'm just saying. Rick Emerson's for equality.
Yeah. See, and I'm not for equality. I think this whole nonsense about the TSA being treating everyone equal is nonsense. Not everyone is equal. Some people are terrorists. Some people are not.
It's
the Stanley Cup is not a terrorist.
It's amazing that nobody's made that claim before.
Dunville, Ontario. I mean, you know...
Let me understand this. Some people are terrorists, but some people aren't.
Right.
You're sure? Okay. You sure you want to draw such a stark distinction?
I believe I can stand by that statement, sir.
All right.
I'm sticking to it. Dunville, Ontario is a little more than a 60-minute drive from Buffalo, where the cup arrived before 1 p.m. Horton's wife also mentioned that her husband planned to take the cup to Toronto as well on Sunday. The cup, eventually, it's made its way to Horton by 2:30 p.m. So, and then another guy gets the cup on Monday, who I guess is another player on the team, and he's going to take it with him to the Czech Republic. So I guess if you're on the winning team, you get to just, like, take the cup places with you.
Is this like when you're in high school and you and your friends split, like, you go in together in a video game, and then you got to split up to the days of the week that you have it at your house?
It's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants.
It's exactly like that.
Only it's a trophy.
Yes. No, it's true.
Just barely into the 2012 election season, Newt Gingrich's campaign has reported $1 million of debt, nearly half of which is owed to a company chartering private air travel. Gingrich and other candidates turned in financial reports to the Federal Election Commission on Friday, giving an outlook on their financial standing. Though his campaign raised $2.1 million this quarter, it was revealed that Gingrich had only around $300,000 cash on hand. The LA Times also reports Gingrich's campaign had paid some $450,000 to a travel company called Moby Dick Airways.
Well, he's not ging poor.
That's right.
So?
It's not the first time debt has plagued the former speaker, who was known to run up quite a Tiffany's tab. Following the recent departures of staff, the news again put the health of Gingrich's campaign into question. Mitt Romney, whose organization had hoped to raise more, still ended June with $12.7 million in the bank, far ahead of his GOP counterparts, but Representative Michelle Bachmann only raised $4.2 million in just a few weeks. Mrs. Bachmann said in a statement, "Having gotten into the race a little over a month ago, we are pleased with the progress of our fundraising numbers. I am especially proud of our grassroots fundraising efforts, which indicate we are receiving the bulk of our contributions from the average hardworking American."
Main Street, not Wall Street, Don.
Yeah. I hate them.
Who?
All of them.
Okay.
A 23-year-old man has been charged with rape in Karlskrona. I don't know where Karlskrona is.
It's right below the Perineum.
Okay. After Rapperts... Oh, it's Sweden.
Oh.
Rapperts Opus, Sweden's only police dog specialized in sniffing sperm, tracked down the perpetrator.
Are you sure you're not merging a story from last week with this story?
No, this is a brand new, new story.
Okay.
The charges against the man state that in the beginning of June, he threatened and physically forced a woman to perform oral sex on him in a park. The evidence against him is heavy. On top of a medical certificate testifying to bodily damage, witnesses who've spoken with both the victim and the accused, as well as a witness who overheard the act, the prosecutor has one more ace up his sleeve in the form of the sperm-sniffing police dog's forensic investigation. The dog found traces of semen on the scene of the crime, and after being sent for analysis, they were found to match the 23-year-old's DNA. The technical evidence is very good, concluded prosecutor Martin Alvinson, who spoke to the newspaper Sydöstran.
Is he a Nazi?
No, he's Swedish.
Okay.
Rappart's Opus, the dog, underwent a year's training in order to reach his exalted position as the sole sperm-sniffing dog of the region.
Can you imagine a worse bout of workplace awkwardness than to let that guy, you know, that dog in a break room?
Oh, yeah. If he sniffs your crotch, then it's like, whoa, dude.
And he will,
because he's a dog.
And doesn't matter what gender you are, he probably will. I mean...
B.G. Carlson, the police officer who trained the dog, said he's the only dog in southern Sweden specialized in tracking sperm.
Okay.
So, this is the first time his sperm-sniffing evidence will be used in a trial. So, this sperm dog.
Sperm hound.
Sperm hound.
Yeah.
He's a Swedish sperm hound.
Okay. Not unlike Bjorn Borg.
A former employee at a Taco Bell / KFC in Depew, New York, chose to make a bold statement when he decided to leave his position at the restaurant. The employee left a message on the fast food restaurant's exterior sign Thursday night saying, "I quit, Adam, F you," in big letters. A co-worker of the supposed sign maker at Taco Bell KFC said that Adam is a shift manager at the restaurant who has been denied time off on the 4th of July. Adam claims he worked 22 straight days and deserved the holiday off, but was not granted it, despite the fact that other employees were allowed to take the day off. He made a sign. Mounting debt worries in Europe and the United States are helping push gold prices to an all-time high.
All right.
An ounce of gold is selling for $1,600, driven also by high demand and inflation fears.
Are you an inventor, or do you know somebody who's an inventor?
Investment manager Marshall Beryl says, don't expect the climb to stop soon.
There's a possibility of some profit-taking, so it backs off a little. But there's a lot of reasons why gold has been going up, actually, for the last 10 years. And in our view, it's going to continue to go up.
This guy sounds like every lawyer I've ever had in my life. Guy just sitting there talking to you over a speakerphone while practicing putting in his office.
So if you've been thinking about getting that specially minted gold coin that looks like a buffalo nickel...
I have.
This is the time to do it, because prices are only going to go higher.
Get me a Parade magazine.
Beryl says it's a supply and demand issue, too.
Governments of the world in 2010 were net buyers of gold for the first time in 21 years. Consumers around the world are buying gold.
And being cut off abruptly before they finish their sentences and ending in a weird upward inflection.
It's a firebrand.
All right.
Okay, let's do entertainment.
Here's your entertainment news. Wait. Yeah, there we go. Entertainment news for Monday, July 18th.
The TV production company for the trivia show that's filmed inside a fake taxi has offered condolences after its vehicle hit and killed a pedestrian late Friday in Vancouver.
Oh.
Andrew Bernstein, president of Castlewood Productions, says the team with Cash Cab sends out thoughts and prayers to the 61-year-old victim from Surrey, BC, and his family.
Since when are they in Canada?
They've been doing them in different places. There's Cash Cab, there's a Cash Cab Chicago.
Is it Ben
Detroit,
Bailey driving it?
Not, the only one I've seen is, I think, Cash Cab, it might be Detroit or something, and it's not Ben Bailey.
Because if he killed a guy, we probably wouldn't get him on the show the next time he comes to town.
But no, I don't believe it was Ben Bailey.
All right, okay.
Vancouver State Police say the unidentified man died of injuries suffered when he was struck just before midnight at the downtown east side. And while charges haven't been laid, the factors leading to the collision are still being determined. Bernstein said in a statement, the incident happened as a producer drove the mock cab back to a storage facility after filming. Meantime, a 34-year-old Vancouver woman was rushed to the hospital after a hit-and-run collision just after midnight in the city's south end. The injured woman lay in the road until an ambulance arrived, and police are now searching for a 2003-2000... Oh, nobody cares about her. She wasn't killed by a cash cab. So, screw her.
The visual clue is, what is walking in front of your cab right now? Sorry.
Yeah. The organizer of an Ottawa music festival where the stage collapsed, scurrying thousands of fans who were watching Cheap Trick, called the accident a freak situation at a press conference Monday. Organizers had been monitoring the weather moments before a violent summer gale toppled the main stage at the Cisco Ottawa Blues Fest on Sunday night. Five people were hospitalized for their injuries, but were later released.
Goodbye there, ladies and gentlemen.
Mark Monahan, the festival's executive director, said, honestly, what we've been told, it was a very unusual situation. The fact that the storm brought the stage down and nothing else came down in the park is just a freak situation.
Excellent.
Witnesses said Cheap Trick band members were thrown off their feet, but got off the stage safely. The band, best known for its hits, including Surrender, I Want You to Want Me, and The Flames, said in a message on Facebook, everyone is shaken up, but band and crew are all fine. Everyone is okay, but we are so lucky to be alive and hope all the fans are okay, too.
I like the idea that Cheap Trick still has the power to literally bring down the entire joint. Just to level the entire structure with the force of their rock.
Blues Fest is one of North America's biggest musical events. It first took place in 1994 and has since grown from a one-stage, three-day event to a multi-stage, 12-day music showcase. Rapper and actor Ja Rule was sentenced today to more than 2 years in federal prison for failing to file income tax returns and said a combination of youthful inexperience, bad advice, and an inability to manage fame and fortune led to his financial troubles. He said, "I in no way attempted to deceive the government or do anything illegal. I was a young man who made a lot of money. I'm getting a little choked up. I didn't know how to deal with these finances, and I didn't have people to guide me, so I made mistakes."
Well, really, the problem is, when you spend your entire career ripping off Tupac Shakur and then the guy that you're ripping off dies, you're suddenly left at loose ends. It's sort of like, you know what it is? It's sort of like being season three of Dexter and you realize you don't have any more books that you can pattern yourself after, and so you have to start coming up with things yourself, and then it all goes to hell. You have no roadmap left.
Well, and also get a better attorney.
Seriously.
Get a real accountant.
Yeah, get an accountant to check your accountant.
Yeah, don't have a guy that you went to, you know.
It's always the brother-in-law.
Yeah, that you played basketball at the boys' club. Don't have him be your accountant.
It's always, you know what it is? It always ends up being either a relative or a close friend of the girl you're banging. And she says, no, Paul would never steer you wrong. And then, you know, Paul does nothing but steer you wrong.
He's two-thirds of the way towards his accountant degree. He knows pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Harry Potter not only defeated Voldemort over the weekend, Deathly Hallows Part 2 also dethroned The Dark Knight for highest grossing opening weekend ever. Paul Dergarabedian, president of Hollywood.com box office division, says he thought the Batman record would hold a lot longer.
But Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2 really came out of the gate 12:01 a.m. Friday.
Down the hall.
Midnight screenings, 43 and a half.
I think he's getting his nails done somewhere while we're. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can boost the audio on this, or at least drop the audio on the. Because it's amusing. I think it'll be even funnier if we actually have him talking at a really low level. Apparently on the other side of the street.
Okay.
While we have the sort of a triumphant music. Hold on. Let me just. All right. Hold on. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, what's this? Is this Potter 1?
But yes. Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2 really came out of the gate 12:01 a.m. Friday with those midnight screenings, 43.5 million, and a staggering $92.1 million in one day.
I say on a crudely edited YouTube video.
Baldly stating the obvious, Dergarabedian says the box office gross is largely due to higher ticket prices for 3D and IMAX.
Whether the 3D in there or not, I mean, to almost be at $100 million in one day is a testament to how popular this series still is after 10 years.
I'm going to show you how to do a step-by-step intro to Hotel California on an acoustic guitar.
Also a testament to how high the ticket prices are. Dergarabedian says the film will eventually earn well over $1 billion.
How big it can go, I'm not sure. I don't know if it can get up into that Avatar or Titanic territory in terms of worldwide box office. Avatar being at like $2.8 billion worldwide. But still, this is a monumental box office achievement.
That concludes your box office report. Press 2 for school lunch menus and 3 for dial and nurse.
Wow. In honor of his mother, Anna Perry McFarlane, Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane has teamed up with Heaven on Earth Society for Animals to help cats in need of a home. Perry's Place, the Perry McFarlane Sanctuary, is a cage-free oasis for cats awaiting adoptions, as well as a home for kittens with special needs. Heaven on Earth President Richie Geisel said, "McFarlane's generosity will not only allow us to purchase and build a new sanctuary and adoption center, it will allow us to continue our life-saving work as Perry's special legacy." Jane Fonda claims that QVC Television Shopping Network canceled her appearance to talk about her new book due to alleged pressure from right-wing groups. "I am, to say the least, deeply disappointed that QVC caved to this kind of insane pressure by some well-funded and organized political extremist groups, and that they did it without talking to me first,"
says
she wrote on her website.
Paranoid Jane Fonda.
The actress courted controversy years ago. Years and years and years ago.
No one cares.
Speaking out against the Vietnam War. And she's also voiced her objection to the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Fonda, however, added she loves her country, and she's never done anything to hurt my country or the men and women who have fought and continue to fight for us. On Friday, Sergeant Ray Lewis posted a YouTube video asking Betty White to be his date at the Marine Corps ball.
Okay. See, I thought that I wouldn't find any of the knockoffs of that of the was it who was it? It was a Jessica Biel or somebody or Mila Kunis.
Kunis.
I didn't think I'd find any of the knockoffs funny. That's really funny though, and I'm embarrassed that I didn't think of it.
In his video, Lewis said, "She's funny, she's sweet, she's mature, she's the all around perfect woman." If she accepts, White will join Friends with Benefits co-stars Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis, who are going to their respective Marine Corps ball with Corporal Kelsey DeSantis and Sergeant Scott Moore. Because that's the thing is that Justin Timberlake decided he would go with a lady Marine as well. So, singer Nick Lachey and his girlfriend Vanessa Minnillo are now husband and wife. They were married Friday in front of 35 friends and family. Minnillo wore a Monique Lhuillier dress, and Lachey was decked out in a Dolce & Gabbana suit. Their wedding will be televised on a July 30th special on TLC.
Well, because Jessica Simpson needs something to watch while opening her fifth container of dibs.
TNT has canceled the TV show's Men of a Certain Age after two seasons due to low ratings.
Bastards!
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's a really, really excellent show, but I have to admit, but yeah, it's like nobody watched it.
You'll all pay. There's going to be a reckoning.
Spokesperson said, while the show has featured great storytelling and impeccable performances, the audience simply hasn't built to the point where we can continue the series.
Sons of bitches.
Doesn't seem like they really tried.
Nobody even knew what the show was. If you asked anybody, you're Men of a Certain Age, and they go, what? And you go, Andre Brower, the Men of a... It's a thing with... He's the
Scott
car salesman. Bakula.
Scott Bakula's on TV.
Yeah, and they
no
just,
one knew it existed.
No, and they go, I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
jerks.
No, it was really very good. Here we go.
Became the McKenzie brothers.
Magic Beyond Words: the J.K. Rowling story is a TV movie being prepped for Lifetime. Oh, it'll be on I think tonight actually at 8 p.m. on Lifetime. TV movie with Poppy Montgomery of Without a Trace, starring as the author before she became a monumental success. That's Magic Beyond Words: the J.K. Rowling story.
Okay.
I know you're going to want to catch that. On Friday, Mark Anthony and Jennifer Lopez announced that their marriage is over.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
We have come to an amicable conclusion. That's hard to say, especially if you have a Hispanic accent. We have come to an amicable conclusion to all matters, said the pair in a joint statement. It is a painful time for all involved, and we appreciate the respect of our privacy at this time. The now estranged couple are parents to 3-year-old twins, Emmy and Max.
Do you know anybody who likes Jennifer Lopez?
Not really. I saw this thing the other day where some magazine or other called her the most beautiful woman in the world. And I thought, well, she is indeed a beautiful woman, but the most beautiful woman? Because actually, she's kind of, you know, well, not. Really.
I just don't know anybody who's a big fan of hers. I mean, I'm not saying she's never done anything good. I mean, she has. But I'm saying, like, do you know anybody that goes, oh, no, that is... stars / is sung by / is about Jennifer Lopez. I have to go see it or buy it.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody that does that, and
no.
Neither do I. No one does.
No one does that.
The only, and this is to paraphrase, by the way, I think I'm paraphrasing Vern from Ain't It Cool, who had one of the best lines ever about a romantic comedy. And if it wasn't Vern, I apologize, but I think it was him. It sounds like something he would say. One of the best lines ever about a movie. It was about some romantic comedy, and I forget what romantic, it doesn't really matter. It was about a terrible romantic comedy, probably starring Kate Hudson. And he said, the only person who will like this film is the girlfriend of your best friend, who you hate. And I mean, that tells you everything you know about that movie. And that's the only person who likes Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah.
You know, your best friend's girlfriend that you hate.
Someone must like her. She keeps making lots of money.
I think those people are record executives.
Yeah. You want to hear one more thing here?
Yeah, we got 44 seconds.
Ivanka Trump and her husband, Jared Kushner, had a baby. We feel incredibly grateful and blessed, tweeted Trump. Thank you for your support and well wishes. They have been married since October of 2009.
Is it correct to say thank you for your well wishes?
Nah. Thank you for all your support and well... No, probably not.
Is that how they taught you to answer questions at the Clackamas Picayune or whatever that was?
Yes.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Whatever.
You saw the picture of me in overalls this weekend. I'm classy. You didn't see my overalls picture?
Yes, I did. No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
And with that, ladies and gentlefolk... We're done with another exciting episode of Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology, Magic Bird, Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer, Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff, Cheryl Kanakoa. Coming up next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, Geek Watch, Hit Watch, Taser Watch, recap of last night's True Blood, also the season opener for Breaking Bad Season 4, Episode 1, and another installment of the Week in Geek with Mr. Aaron Duran. You can get this program, Legion of News, here at Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com or via iTunes or on your mobile device at mobile.cascadia.fm, mobile.cascadia.fm. We will see you again tomorrow at noon at Cascadia.fm for another exciting installment of Legion of News. Thank you for listening. We will see you all tomorrow at noon. Bye now.